Good morning. On April the 6th, we're going to have a wedding. Everybody's invited, and we're going to have a reception afterward downstairs. We'll have lunch together. We're just going to celebrate Bobby and Tina and the covenant that God established for us, and we're going to be blessed. Amen. And then on Sunday, April 13th, is Palm Sunday. And Friday, Good Friday, that is April 18th, we're going to have a Monday service and a Good Friday service combined. We're going to do the celebration of the Seder, and then we'll come into the sanctuary, and Paul's going to bless us with a Good Friday service. So we're just going to join it together all in one evening. So that's going to be Good Friday on the 18th. Then Saturday, April 19th, is going to be our Easter egg hunt. And I want to thank everybody that has got that candy, stuffed those eggs, or made any donations. Thank you very much. Dollar Tree has some great stuff. I'm just saying. Hobby Lobby has stuff 40% off right now. Cute crafts. We're going to have 12 Easter baskets that when we play our resurrection bingo, the kiddos can win. So just keep that in mind. If you go out and you see something that would fit in a Easter basket, grab one. And then Sunday, April 20th, we're going to be celebrating the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ together. Amen? Amen. I love it. Best time of the year. Continue to pray for Candace. She's still at Riverside. Her procedure went very, very well on Tuesday. She's just got to stay a little bit longer than what she had planned. They wanted to do some inpatient rehab before they transfer her to a rehab facility, maybe. They just wanted to do some inpatient rehab. So continue to pray for Candy. She was in really good spirits when I went and saw her. So they are taking really good care of her over there. They love her. Reminder, we have, if those of you that wish to be baptized, a sign-up sheet out there. We'll have a baptism class before. And then also, if you are wishing to become a member of the church, there's also a sheet out there. And we'll have a class on the membership. And those that have already become members that we weren't able to do the membership class, we're just going to do a joint one. So it's not a complex thing. I'm not, you don't have to, you do commit. It's a covenant. It's pretty serious. But, it's fun. And we love you, and we're glad that you're here and a part of our church and a part of our family. And I told Chris the other, I don't remember life before you. Isn't that weird how, you come and it's like you've always been here. We've always been a part of each other. And I love that. We're just blessed and highly favored for that. Amen. All right. So the word, before we get started, let's prepare our hearts, prepare our minds to receive what he has for us this morning. I'm going to read from Hebrews 4. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in this time of need. We have a great high priest that has been tempted, that has been through trials the way we have been through trials, because he was the Son of Man. He was just as human as he was God. Keep that in mind as we go through this service this morning, okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we gather in your presence and we quiet our spirits in this sacred moment And we remember as we're going into this season of Lent, your son, Jesus, who was led into the wilderness, he was tested, he was tried, and he was strengthened for the mission that you had ahead of him. And we come before you longing to grow closer in our understanding and in this walk that we're on to the cross with him. Open our hearts to hear the words that you have for us today as we recount Jesus in his time of trial and his victory over temptation that gives us an example of how we have that same victory. And may his trust in your provision remind us to rely on you in moments of weakness. And Holy Spirit, be our guide. Just as you led Jesus, lead us through this service. Empower us, strengthen us. Let us just give all the strength to shout out the praise to our Lord, to take up the armor, to walk in the power of your word. And I ask a blessing, a special blessing over the praise band as they lead us into this time of worship and praise, Heavenly Father. We just thank you so much that they share their gifts and their talents with us each and every Sunday. And be with the message. Let it not fall on deaf ears. Let it not fall on the floor, but let us catch them up and place them on our hearts. So when we leave here, we take that strength and we take that word to go out and proclaim you and give you glory and give you honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What's praise, church? Praise isn't quiet.
Our greeting today is taken from Genesis 3:19 and Joel, second chapter, verses 12 and 13. Remember that you are dust, and dust you shall return. That is why the Lord says, turn to me now while there is time. Give me your hearts. Come with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Don't tear your clothes in grief, but tear your hearts instead. Return to the Lord your God. He is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. He is eager to relent and not punish. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you today to worship you, to bow down before you and to acknowledge that you are the only God, the only one, and you are the one through Jesus Christ that gives us salvation and eternal life. There's no better gift than that. But you've got to acknowledge him, and you've got to be there and tell him your concerns and tell him your sins and acknowledge him as Lord and Savior of all. You don't ask much from us. You give us a time to give back to you and to the kingdom here on earth so that we can reach out and touch someone in your name. And we thank you for that, and we thank you for allowing us to give, and we know that you will do whatever is needed to stretch those funds to do the work of your kingdom here on earth. So we thank you for that, and thank you for your blessings this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's my granddaughter's birthday today, and she's here with us. Happy birthday, Paisley. Papa loves you. We got to celebrate yesterday, and it was glorious because there were balloons on the ceiling. And of course, she loves Minnie, so everything was Minnie-themed, okay? It was a wonderful day because you know what? You saw God's light in her eyes as she just was amazed at the things going on. Her smile was unbelievable. She got many gifts, but God gives us many gifts. Sometimes you have to look for those. Sometimes you think, oh, did God forget me? But yet the sun rises every day. Temperatures are going to rise this week, right? Yeah. You feel the sun, the warmth of sun as you're in the car, as it comes through the glass. It warms your heart. And you know he's there. His presence is there with you. But he gives you a guide, your guide for life. And it's this book. It's your Bible. If you haven't opened it in a while, maybe this season of Lent, we need to open the Bible a little bit more. Because in that book, in this book, not that book, in this, well, that book or this book, right? In this book, gives you guides for your life. And it tells you what you need to do, that you need to love your God with all your heart and that you need to recognize that Jesus Christ, his Son, was God here on earth, and that he died for your sins, and that because of that, you can have eternal life. Nobody else out there can promise you that. Nobody else can give that to you. It's a special gift, just like the gifts of a birthday, just like the smiles on the kids' faces. And yes, the smile on your faces too, I can see those. Not always, but yes, I can see those. Because that gives you a gift to give to somebody else. If you walk around being grumpy and sad, but you don't look for the blessings that God has given you, it's very difficult to get out of that funk. But if you see somebody smile, if you hear somebody laugh, you can't help but put a smile on your face. And if you can pass on God's love to somebody else by showing that, you might have planted the seed or watered it or fertilized it or reassured them what God can do for you. Amen? So let's pray the prayer, "This is my Bible," and ask God to help us every day dig into his word. This is my Bible. It contains the word of God given to me. It tells me that I am made righteous through Jesus Christ and that I am the head and not the tail. Since I am a joint heir to the throne of glory, today I will allow what I hear to transform me to be more like Christ. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Amen.
Good morning. We're going to do something a little different this morning. So if you're visitors, this is usually how we do it. You come on a good Sunday. We're just switching it up. I'm doing a little test. Not really. Not a test. But a lot of you, this is your first Lent celebration, your first 40 days. You know, you kind of stopped and you asked, what are we doing this for? Why are we doing this? So we're going to tell the story of when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, which is what we base the 40 days before Easter on, is we remember him being tempted by Satan in the wilderness. This is going to be... Chosen. I love it. If you haven't seen Chosen, highly suggest it. When I wrote this out, so please bear with me. I tried to be a little creative, box, and not just stand up at the pulpit and give you a regular sermon. You know, try to imagine in your head the imagery that the message and then the story. And I'll tell you, the way the Chosen does it, it is Bible based. It does have what the Bible has in it, but they humanize it. And in the situations, you kind of think to yourself, oh, I bet that is how that happened. I bet that is how that topic God brought up to Jesus. I bet that is how they ran into Matthew. You know, and so the Bible doesn't give us all of how the things got put together, but it does give us the stories. So this is kind of my thought of how Jesus told the disciples his 40 days in the wilderness, because we know Jesus had to have told them the story, right? Because he gives it to us in the gospel. So he had to have let his disciples know that, hey, this is what I went through. This is what you're going to go through. But know that I went through it too. I felt just like you felt. Okay? So just mind as we go through it. And I want to say good morning also to our family of faith online. We have some dedicated people that watch us online when both Amber and Brett and Amy are able to be here. Pastor Jeff and Tina. So the message this morning was written as if Jesus himself encounter of Satan in the wilderness. And it's an intimate personal retelling, bringing that into reality, his temptation, his struggle, and ultimately his victory. And this account allows us to step into that moment, to try to imagine and think of how the disciples heard and learned more about the Messiah that was with them. And as we enter into this time of Lent, we're invited to walk with Jesus, to walk these 40 days with him to the cross and to reflect. Some of you may fast, definitely pray. And Lent is a time of spiritual renewal, mirroring Jesus's 40 days in the wilderness, as I said. And just as he was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tested after his baptism, we too are called into a season of trial and refinement, where we are confronted with our weakness and learn to depend on him. So the scene in your minds opens as Jesus sits with his disciples to pray together. The night air is cool, and the fire is crackling, casting flickering shadows on their faces. And the disciples come together, and they start to recite the prayer that they had just learned from Jesus a few weeks ago, the Lord's Prayer. And Jesus starts, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Amen." And the disciples glance at each other. This is the first time that they've heard the prayer. But each time that they hear it, something just pops out at them. They have questions about. And they glance and they look. And after a moment, Thomas speaks up. He's a little hesitant, very curious. "Rabbi, you say, lead us not into temptation. But does the Father lead us into temptation?" And the others nod, knowing they had the same question. They just didn't have the courage to say it out loud. And James adds, "Why do we need to ask to be delivered from the evil one? Is he so present? Is he so near?" And Jesus smiles and looks at him, as he loved when his disciples asked the questions, wanting to learn more. And looking around, takes a slow breath. And
his expression grows a little more serious.
And he says,
"My brothers,
you have been discussing temptation and trial, and I know that on your mind. Let me tell you of my own experience. The new Elijah, calling people to repentance and preparing their hearts to receive the kingdom of God. And when I went to John at the River Jordan to be baptized, he hesitated. And he said, 'I need to be the one to be baptized.' And I said, 'Yes, you do.' He knew. He knew that there was no sin for me to repent of. But my baptism was not for my own cleansing. It was so that I could identify with you, so that I could identify with those followers that were there at the River Jordan to be baptized too, so that you see your Messiah being with you. The Spirit descended like a dove, and my Father's voice spoke, 'This is my beloved Son, to whom I am well pleased.'" It was a moment of divine affirmation for those to witness. And immediately after, the Spirit led me into the wilderness. And Jesus pauses, his eyes scanned the faces of his disciples, knowing the trials they had faced, but definitely those that are yet to come. He said, "My friends, understand this. Those who are the greatest threat to the enemy and his kingdom are the ones that he targets the most. You are being attacked with trials and temptations because the enemy sees you as a threat and wants to stop you before you do damage to his domain. But do not mistake these struggles as signs of our Father's abandonment. No, my Father allows these trials for a purpose, a divine purpose. He is refining you, strengthening you, preparing you for the battles. The enemy doesn't waste time on those who are not a threat. He focuses his attacks on those whom God is using to bring light into the darkness, to break chains, to proclaim his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. He fights the hardest against those who stand on the front lines, just as you are going to be. And so, do not be surprised when this time comes. Rejoice because it affirms. It means you are stepping into the purpose my Father has for you. And I want you to listen to me now. Warfare, spiritual warfare, the battles we face are not merely of that we see in front of us from flesh and blood. It's against the rulers, authorities. Remember the vision given to Daniel? He witnessed a battle between angels where the prince of Persia and a powerful spiritual entity hindered the deliverance of a message to Daniel. And this figure represents that demonic power ruling over that region, resisting God's purposes. But then Michael, the mighty, mighty Michael, archangel, fighting on behalf of God's people. The unseen conflict is what I'm trying to tell you. The battle happening behind the scenes of the earthly struggles that we witness. Just as Daniel's prayers were heard and answered despite the opposition, you must remain steadfast as Daniel, for the forces of darkness cannot prevail against the will of my Father. The enemy does not always come with open threats. He's subtle. He's cunning. He whispers, doubts. He tempts where you are weak. He seeks to distract you from the path my Father has set for you and for me. But you must be prepared. I'm telling you this beforehand so you know what to do, so you know how I overcame. Stand firm. You must wrap yourself in that truth, which is the word of God. And Satan is the father of lies. Walk steady in his righteousness, for the enemy will try to ensnare you in sin. Be ready with my message of peace, because the enemy will sow division and discord. Use your faith to protect you and others from his attacks of doubt and fear, because they will come sooner than you think, brothers. They will come. And keep your mind fixed on the truth that I have given you. And Jesus lets those words sink in, allowing the disciples to grasp the weight of what he's saying and where they're going with him. And he said, I want you to understand this. My Father led me into the wilderness after my baptism. And this was not a trap set by Satan, but a test allowed by my Father. My Father and the Holy Spirit led me into the wilderness so that I would know and feel the weight of temptation. Not because I needed to be purified, but because the Son of Man, I need to feel and experience everything you feel and experience. I know what it is to be hungry. As the Son of Man, I know what it is to be weak. I know what it is to be lonely. And I know what it is to be tested. I faced the same struggles you face, and yet as the Son of God, I do not sin. It's important for you to know that the God who gives me the authority, has understanding, who can show empathy to you and compassion, not from a place of distant knowledge, not of a place that where they haven't experienced it. The path ahead will not always be easy, But I want you to know that I walk with you, beside you, ahead of you, and behind you. I've endured it before you. When you struggle, you know that you don't struggle alone. My Father sent me not just to save, but to stand, to be with you, to guide, to intercede for you. That's why I was led into that wilderness. And because I overcame, you can overcome. The first Adam, remember? Adam in Genesis. We go back to the beginning, brothers. He was tempted in the garden. He was full. He was well fed. Because God, the Father, said, you may eat of any fruit in this garden. You could have it all, Adam. And he did. There was only one rule, remember? Do not eat the fruit of this tree. The Spirit is with me, but being in God's will doesn't mean that we are spared from hardship. I was led into the wilderness hungry and weak, the very opposite of the first Adam. Because I am the last Adam. Sometimes you'll be led straight into the battle. Even though I walk through the valley of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. As I remembered the words of David, in your wilderness, when the weight of trial feels unbearable, remember, our Father's with you. He was with me even when I hungered, even when I was tempted, even when the enemy stood before me, and he will be with you. I want you to know before you go any further on this journey with me that the enemy studies us, waiting for the moment of our greatest vulnerability. Like a lion, he watches, searching for the perfect moment to strike. He saw my hunger, my human need, and he whispered, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. If one of Satan's oldest tricks and one that caused the most devastation to make you question what God has already said. That's how he got Eve. And that's how he got Adam. And that's how he will try to get you. And he will make you question what he has said. Did God really say that about the tree if you ate that fruit? Did he really? Satan knows. Satan knows who I am. Satan knows that I am the Messiah, that I am the Son of God. He knows that the Father's word is true, and yet he sought to plant that small seed of doubt in me that my Father had just affirmed at my baptism. He looked down and said, this is my Son, whom I am well pleased. And he will do that to you. He wanted me to question my identity. He wanted me to question my purpose. But I tell you the truth. I do not need to prove who I am to him, and neither do you. When you believe in me, when you declare me as your Lord and Savior, you are marked, and God tells you who you are. Our Father tells you who you are. You're a child of the Most High God. You must understand this. He will try the same deception on you. He will whisper, if God really loves you, would he be doing this to you? Would you be going through this? If Jesus was truly the Messiah, if you really belonged to him, would you still be doing that? Would you still be tempted like that? Don't let his words take root in your heart. This is why you must write my Father's word on your heart in the words that I speak to you, so you will not be deceived. The enemy's lies only have power if you entertain them. If you let them settle in that soil in your mind, stand firm. And when the enemy comes, answer him with the truth, just as I did. And I answered him. You know, it's a simple request. What harm could it do? No, because I knew what our Father says. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now, he didn't stop. He took me to a high place and showed me all the kingdoms of the world. All this I will give you, he said, if you bow down and worship me. Just for a moment, Jesus. Nobody's here. Nobody else will see. It's just you and me. And I'll be the only one that knows. He said, all of this will be if you bow down. And he spoke that Adam's sin gave him dominion over the earth. He is the prince of the world because the first Adam failed. But my Father already promised me all these things. They're already mine. The path before me, as the prophet Isaiah had written, that the Son of God would be despised, afflicted, oppressed, and he would suffer for the sins of all humanity. But you see, the enemy offered me a shortcut. No pain, no rejection, no suffering, no agony. Just one bow. Just one. Nobody else will see it. Nobody else will know. And it would be all mine. But I knew better. And I answered him, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him alone. He took me to the pinnacle of the temple and said, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you. He twists my Father's words, urging me to test God rather than to trust him. But faith does not demand proof. Brothers, hear that. Faith doesn't demand truth. It rests in certainty. And I answered, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Three times he tempted me, and three times I answered him with the word of our Father. And when he saw that I would not yield, he left me. And then the angels came to minister to me, strengthening my body, replenishing my spirit. Just as in Psalm 91, from the words he commands his angels concerning us. You will face temptation, just as I faced temptation. And Satan watches you, just as he watched me, learning your weaknesses, learning your faults. And that's when you're going to be most vulnerable, as I was most vulnerable in the wilderness. And he will attack. He will seek to make you act outside of the Father's provision over you, what he has for you, what he's promised you, to force God's hand rather than to trust him. But remember, the devil flees from those who resist him in the word. Stand firm. All that I faced as the Son of Man. I did this willingly so that I could be that most high priest that you're going to need. Not one who merely knows, that can hear and that can listen, but one that has lived it, knowing the suffering that you have, knowing the temptation that will be presented before you. A man may know the dangers of the sea from books, but only the sailor and the fisherman who have battled the storm truly understand its fury. I came to walk among you, to endure hunger, rejection, loss, and pain, so that I could truly know you. Soon you will see even more. You'll see betrayal. You'll see false accusations. You'll see injustice. You will see me completing my Father's will. But I want you to take heart. All of this is so that I may win the final victory. I didn't come to take the easy way, to avoid it, and neither will you. But know, as the angels ministered to me, so my Father, through the Holy Spirit, will strengthen you and minister to you. And Jesus looks around at his disciples, his expression both solemn and reassuring. And he places his hands on Peter's shoulder and then Matthew. The fire crackles. A breeze rustles through the trees. And he says, come on, let's get some rest. The road ahead of us is long, and we have much to do. Amen. Thanks. But yeah.
the retelling, disciples had to have heard Jesus's experience in the wilderness. He had to have told the story to them. So that was just my little rendition of how I thought maybe that might have happened. So let's close in prayer. Lord Jesus, we come before you in awe and gratitude that your words that you spoke to the disciples, the teaching that you spoke, that you gave, has been preserved for us so that we may know you and be more like you. You experienced our deepest temptations. You felt our greatest loss. And you knew betrayal. And you knew abandonment. You suffered pain beyond what we could ever imagine. So all that you could be, all that you could be close to us, so that you could truly understand us. And you didn't remain distant, high above our struggle. You stepped down into them. And you walked with us, faced the enemy. And because you overcame, you tell us that we're overcomers through you and the power of the Holy Spirit. And there is no other God that has been created, false gods, that can ever say this. They've never done this. No other God has ever lowered themselves to meet a mere human, to walk in our dust, to care for us so deeply, and yet you did. And while all the other gods are still dead in that grave, you alone have conquered it. You alone are the resurrection and the life. You alone have claimed victory over death, defeated the enemy, and stripped him of the authority over us. And you alone are the one true and living God. Forgive us, Lord, for the times when we have forgotten this truth, when we have been tested, when we have gone through suffering, and we feel alone, abandoned. Remind us that you have already conquered, you've already walked it, and you've won. And as we walk through this Lent season, help us in the journey, not just reading the words, but getting to know you better, closer. Because you did this all so you could be closer to us, to be transformed by it, Lord. Teach us to walk and trust. And may we become more like you, drawn closer to our heart. We praise you, Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer, and our King. In your mighty, victorious name, amen.